Our reading this morning comes from Philippians 1, and I'm reading verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Hazel. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you that it is life-giving. And we pray now, as we dig into this book of Philippians, that you would give us open hearts to receive. Lord, help us to hear what you would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we've said, we are starting a new series this morning, working through the book of Philippians. And we've entitled this series, Joy for the Journey. Out of all of Paul's letters, I think Philippians is probably one of the most warm and positive and upbeat, which is in many ways surprising. It's a letter that was written either from prison or at least under house arrest. Either way, Paul wasn't having an easy time of it. I don't think the Romans were known for their generous hospitality towards their prisoners. And Paul is writing to a church that wasn't having an easy time of it either. Philippi was a big Roman colony, so to proclaim Jesus as Lord in that place was a bold, courageous thing to do. But Paul is writing to them, and he has so much to say about rooting themselves in Jesus and being united together in him. And he speaks so much of the hope and the joy that flows from that, no matter what the circumstances. So this morning, I want to offer a bit of an introduction to the book as a whole, and then reflect on what we might draw from these opening verses of chapter 1. So by way of introduction, first of all, if you want to do your homework on the background of Philippians, go home and read Acts chapter 16, where we first hear about Philippi. Now, this was in fact the first Christian community that was planted in Europe, which is quite exciting, in northern Greece. Paul's journey there was something of an adventure. If you're familiar with Acts chapter 16, you might remember they kept trying to travel to a new place and God kept closing the doors. They kept sort of having their way blocked. And eventually, Paul had a dream one night, a vision of this man from Macedonia. It's slightly mysterious. And this man from Macedonia, in Paul's dream, invites him to come and help. So it was an unexpected, unplanned journey to Philippi. But it was one that God was so clearly in from start to finish. Now, I've heard it said many times, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And for Paul, I think it was one of those times where he didn't really know quite where he was going or what was going on, but God did. And Paul trusted and followed. And I wonder with hindsight whether it was maybe a good job that Paul didn't know where God was going to lead him and didn't quite know what the plan was. Because I wonder if he had known whether he would have gone. If you read Acts chapter 16, we discover the plan went something like this. So, Paul, you're going to wind up in Philippi, which is a leading city in the district. It's a big Roman colony. You're going to preach there for a few days. And to be honest, nothing much is really going to happen. It'll be a bit disappointing. On your day off, then, you'll go for a walk outside of the city. And on your walk, you're going to come across some women, and you'll have a bit of a chat with them. And one of them, called Lydia, will be interested in what you've got to say. And she, in fact, will become a follower of Jesus. And you'll end up staying with Lydia for a bit. And while you're with her, you'll come across a slave girl who is a fortune teller because of this spirit that she has. And she will shout at you a bit, and eventually you'll cast that spirit out of her, which will be great for her, but not great for the people who own her as a slave, because that's their money all dried up. So they will take you to the Roman authorities, where they'll get very angry with you. The crowds, in fact, will all attack you. You'll be stripped and beaten and thrown into prison. Now, don't freak out when you get to prison. In fact, sing some hymns. Don't stress. I've got it all under control. As you're singing some hymns, I'm going to send an earthquake. Your chains will fall off. In fact, the prison doors will all open. The guard will then freak out, thinking everyone's escaped. But you'll say, don't worry, they're still there. And he'll become a follower of Jesus too. After that, they'll take you out of prison and kindly ask you to move on. The end of your trip in Philippi. Would you have gone? Had you known that was the plan? I'm not sure I would have done. But what's lovely is that the church starts to grow. Now, we've got our lovely looking road on the screen here, thinking about the journey. I wonder if for Paul, it felt a bit more like this. The road's a little bit windy, a bit dangerous, can't entirely see all of it, it's all a bit unknown. I wonder if the journey sometimes feels a bit more like that for us too. But God was at work in that journey nonetheless. And out of it, as we've said, the Philippian church was planted and began to grow. And Paul is able to look back with hindsight and see just how much God has been at work in this journey, however complex it was. And this sense of God being at work, really after his introductions in Philippians chapter 1, becomes the opening message of this letter that he's writing from another prison, maybe 10 or 12 years after the church was first planted. God is at work in us. I love verse 6, where Paul talks about his confidence that God, who has begun a good work in these people, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is at work in their lives and in ours. He never stops his work in us. That's what God does. He works in us. He changes lives. That's kind of his business. Do we have confidence in that? A God who changes lives. That is what the death and resurrection of Jesus was all about. About dealing with our sin and our brokenness and drawing us into new life. His life. For me, one of the key indicators of whether I am in a good place spiritually is how easily I can answer the question, what is God doing in me at the moment? I know when I get busy, which happens from time to time, when I get distracted by my busyness, and that's easy to happen when you're part of a busy church and you're racing around doing the things of God without necessarily being well connected to him. When that happens, I too easily become dulled to the things that God wants to do in me. And if I'm not making space to be attentive to him, then my knowledge of what he's doing in me just, I guess, becomes a bit fuzzy. A bit like a very crackly radio that's not tuned in properly, and you can't really work out what's being said. I know that's not a thing anymore. We've got digital radio, but those of us who remember trying to tune our radios in. When we're not attentive to God, we can lose that sense of what he's trying to do in us. So what is God wanting to do in me and you at the moment? If all I can think of is a list of church meetings I've been to, I know things are out of balance. Where is when I'm properly investing in my walk with Jesus, when I'm digging into his word, when I'm making space to reflect on it? Suddenly I find God wants to do all kinds of things in me. It's one of the reasons why we come back from something like Focus, another plug for Focus here, feeling like God has been really powerfully at work. It is not that there is anything special about Newark Showground. There definitely isn't. It's just that when we make space for God and we really clear aside the clutter and put our attention on him, he shows us all kinds of things that he wants to do. And that doesn't just happen at Focus. It can happen here in Richmond, in our lives, in our home groups, whatever. When we're tuned into God, we become clear about what he wants to do in us. And there's no end of things he wants to do in us. Let's be honest, we've all got lots of things God needs to do in us. We're all works in progress. We're being formed and molded day by day into his image. So what is God doing in you and me? What are we learning about his character? What are we learning about ourselves? What's he challenging you on at the moment? Where is he encouraging you to step out of your comfort zone, perhaps? What's he asking of me? These are great questions to be asking ourselves and asking one another as well. Life groups, as I've said, are a brilliant place to explore these kind of questions. How is God at work in us at the moment? And I'd really encourage you to sit with that question this week. What is God doing in me? Maybe make some space to journal or book a coffee with someone that you trust and say, let's ask each other this question. Let's ask God what he wants to be doing in our lives. He is at work in us individually and corporately. And he's promised that he will carry that work on to completion. And what a glorious promise that is. Now, this work of God in us is all about our partnership with him and with one another. So it's got both vertical and horizontal dimensions to us, this sense of partnership. Paul writes in verse 4 and 5 about the joy he has because of their partnership in the gospel. And he writes in verse 7 about how they share together. In other words, they are partners in God's grace. There are all kinds of facets to this partnership. It's about their prayer and support for one another in their journey of faith. It's very practical too. Part of the reasons Paul is writing to the Philippians is to, and we'd see this at the end of the letter, is to thank them for the significant financial gift they have sent to him. This partnership looks like all kinds of different things. But it's a theme that's going to run all through the book of Philippians. Partnership with God and partnership with one another. Paul is going to talk about what it means to be united with Christ, to fulfill his purposes, partnering with him. But also about being co-workers together, striving together, sharing resources, being like-minded, partnering together. And when Dan launched our new strapline a couple of weeks ago on Vision Sunday, this idea of being together with Jesus, I guess what we're talking about there is our desire to reflect both of these ideas, partnership with God and partnership with one another. We want to be together as a community, united across generations, working in partnership with each other for a common purpose, but not just together, with Jesus, partnering with him and his work, following him wherever he may lead us. And the fruit here is a church that has grown in number and in faith and in relationship with each other. It's a church that loves one another deeply. Just listen to the way Paul talks about the Philippians in these opening verses. Verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In verse 4, I always pray for you with joy. Verse 7, I have you in my heart. Verse 8, I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. It's beautiful the way he talks about his relationship with them. And I'm really excited for us as we are drawn into the purposes of God together as this community here at HTR, as we know more of God working among us, allowing him to do all that he wants to do in us, and doing that together. We're invited to do it all in partnership with him and one another and be drawn together in him as we journey. Where will all of that lead us? We don't always know, but God does. And part of journeying with him and being in partnership with him is allowing him to direct our paths. Sometimes, as we've seen, that journey isn't quite as clear as we'd like it to be. Sometimes it doesn't go where we were expecting it to go, just as it wasn't for Paul and his journey to Philippi. But he will lead us, and his purposes are always good, and they're always bigger than it just being about me and God. So we think about what it is to have God at work in us. What is God doing in us at the moment? A great question to sit with. And that always needs to come first. But God also wants to be at work through us. Paul often bursts into prayer as he's writing, doesn't he? He kind of, one minute he's teaching something and suddenly, oh, he's praying again. He just can't help it. And there's one of those moments right here in chapter 1, as he says in verse 9 to 11, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." These are things that flow out of God being at work in us, but these are things that are much more about us as individuals. Our love isn't going to abound for our own sake, is it? It's that we might love others and show something of God's love to them. Our discerning his will is not primarily about us. It's about who he wants to lead us to as we share in his work of telling the good news of Jesus, of being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from walking with him to his praise and glory. That is, that others might see what he is doing in us and be drawn to him too. As we root ourselves in him, as we partner with him and with one another, we are drawn into a story that is so much bigger than just me and God. And we're going to be thinking more about that next week as Matt speaks to us about the second half of chapter 1, which is a lot less introspective than these opening verses and has a lot more to say about all that God might want to do through us. But as we close, let's remember what Paul opened with straight after his initial introductions. "I thank my God every time I remember you, and in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." I think if I have to pick out one theme that for me is the thing that most stands out to me from this letter to the Philippians, it is joy. Paul is writing from prison to people who aren't having an easy time either. And yet he speaks over and over again in these four chapters about joy and rejoicing and gladness. The joy that is to be found in relationship with Jesus. The joy that is to be found from knowing him. And the joy that's to be found in our walking with him together. Knowing him at work together in us and through us in every season, whether that journey is straightforward or not. And it's my prayer for us as we seek to root ourselves deeper in him in 2024, as we seek to grow in our relationships with him and with one another, that God would fill us with his joy afresh. We all need joy, don't we, for the journey? Life is not always easy. We don't always know where these twists and turns are going to take us. But God, nevertheless, in every season, wants to fill us with his joy as we walk with him and as we walk together. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement that is to be found in these opening verses of this letter to the Philippians. Lord, thank you that in the midst of an unexpected journey to Philippi, that you were so powerfully at work. And thank you, Lord, that that is what you do. You work in us. Lord, thank you that Jesus died and rose again to invite us into his new life. Thank you that by your Spirit, you are at work in each of us day by day, helping us to become the people you have made us to be, helping us to walk more closely with you. Lord, thank you that you have plans and purposes for us, that you want to work in us and through us. Lord, help us even in this week ahead to be attentive to what you want to do in us. As we sit with that question, Lord, what do you want to do in me in this season? Would we hear you speaking to us? And would you lead us together on this journey with you for your glory? We pray. Amen.